Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowl, and as said and always, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, and my co-host, Mr. Josh Davis. What's going on, brother?
You know, just enjoying the day, enjoying the excitement of everything that is MMA.
Well, let's get to it. There's been a lot of changes. Conor's retired. He's not retired. I know he's off UFC 200. John Jones just fought. The dynamics of
OSP.
Yeah. Where do we start?
Well, I think we got to start with, you know, the return of John Jones. He looked, I thought he looked good against OSP. I know a lot of people said he looked rusty and that kind of stuff. And to be real honest, I think he took it easy on OSP. I think if he really pushed the pace, he could have finished that fight. But I don't think he wanted to. I think he wanted to get 25 minutes of cage time. This is a guy who hadn't fought in 18 months. He wanted to get as much cage time as possible. He was never in any kind of danger. He was never hurt or anything to that nature. For him, it was a sparring session. You know, it was good for him to get back in there and use all 25 minutes. If he really wanted to finish OSP, he could have done so. That wasn't the intent. The intent was to get octagon time. I thought John looked good. I think he's prepared for Daniel Cormier at UFC 200. You know, I'm excited to see the return of John Jones.
I am too, you know, because John Jones has a lot to prove to not only himself, but his fans. Like I said before, the new and improved, sober John Jones. How is he going to look? I agree with you 110%. Your assessment is spot on. I believe it was just a sparring session for him. That's what it looked like to me. You know, for 25 minutes, getting the time in, getting the reps in, getting used to everything, and also taking it in, you know. That's all I can say. A lot of fighters say, oh, well, you know, short notice, it was this and that. You know, competing is competing. Very simple. I tell my students all the time, and I don't want to take anything from it, but OSP's coaches should have known. One, check the hyperextension kick, the thigh kick that he throws from the outside. It's very simple. And two, when you can't kick anymore and you can't use your legs, use your hands. Not a basic 1-2 combination ever showed up, just a basic 1-2. And it looked like John was waiting for it. So, you know, hats off to OSP for taking the fight, you know, and I think John looked very good,
And no disrespect to OSP, because, you know, OSP came in there and fought, and, you know, he didn't get finished. He went five rounds with the champ. He knows where he's at now. I mean, it was if you really think about it, this was a hell of a fight for both fighters. You know, yes, OSP lost, but now he knows, hey, if I'm going to ever climb that mountain with the athletic ability that I have, here's what I need to work on. Here's where my skills are deficient. And, yeah, no, if he goes back and watches the film of this fight and truly learns from it, no, it was a great fight on all accounts. I think both fighters, you know, there were so many positives. And when everyone was blasting these guys, I was just like, well, I guess I watched something completely different than you guys did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Really quick, Anthony Pettis, where does he go from here? He's on a 3-fight losing streak. Where does he go from here?
You know, I love Anthony Pettis, and obviously we have a great relationship with Duke Rufus and all of his guys. Following his season on The Ultimate Fighter, I really fell in love with the kid. So I say this with 100% sincerity. I think he needs to go the way of Donald Cerrone. I think he needs to find himself a fight doctor, so to speak, a sports psychologist to help get his mind right, because he is not – been the same fighter since RDA put it on him. He's hesitant. He's slow. He's reactionary. He is not the dynamic striker that he once was. You know, he's a very cautious fighter out there, and Edson just beat him to the punch every time. So I think really what Anthony needs to do is, like I said, you know, work through whatever psychological issues that he has. Maybe he needs to fight more often. Maybe he is like Cerrone in that manner as well and needs to fight, you know, once every other month. But I also think it's time for him to move to 145. Edson was so much bigger than Anthony Pettis was. I think, you know, yes, Pettis was a champ at 155, but I think that's more because he just had Ben Henderson's number. And so I think his true home is at 145. I do think he can still be a dominant person in the sport because he does have all the skills, but he's got to get his head right. He's got to remember how to throw punches instead of, you know, being a reactionary fighter.
Yeah, look, no doubt about it. And look, that happens a lot of times when you suffer a defeat. Look, it happened to me when I was competing. You know, body just shut down, saw everything, just couldn't react. So I just avoided taking damage. You know what I mean? And that's no excuse. It's just couldn't react. My body just completely shut down. So it is what it is. Really quick, that entire fight card that we saw, is there anybody really you think that can beat Demetrius Johnson at this particular stage in his game, or the UFC just have to keep feeding him opponents until he decides to walk away?
You know, I want to see DJ go back up to 135. I know he's very small for that weight class, but I do think he can compete. I do think he could compete with Dominic Cruz. However, at 125 pounds right now, there's not anyone on the roster, there's not anyone at that weight class that I have seen that can compete with DJ. He is just too good. And the UFC knows that. That's why once they do the next season of Tough 25, that winner is going to get a shot at DJ, which is just crazy to me. But that's how small the, you know, talent pool is. He's already beat everybody, and he's beat everybody handily. And so he is that good. He is that much better than everyone else. And so, you know, they can either give him opponents that he's way better than, or eventually figure out, you know, how to do some catchweight fights maybe, or some other so-called super fights to really push DJ. Otherwise, he's going to just continue to school everybody.
Let me ask you, when he and Cruz fought the first time in the WEC, they fought at 45 or 35?
They fought at 35.
Yeah.
No, they fought at 45.
Yeah, I thought they fought at 45. I don't think WEC had a 35 punch. Right.
They didn't. They fought at 45.
Okay. Yeah, because at his size then, just 145 was just too heavy for him. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything.
Just way too big. Way too big.
Yeah. So we'll definitely see. Where are we with Conor McGregor? Sorry. Did he retire, or he's just taken off? He's mad. He's upset. What's the new news with him? Have you found anything out?
Well, you got to love Conor. Conor's still training to fight Nate Diaz at UFC 200, and I'm not joking when I say that. He still thinks that he is fighting at UFC 200. He still has everybody out in Iceland, and he's still training. What Dana says is he is going to be fighting the winner of Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo in a unification bout, probably at UFC 203 or 204, but not at 205 either. So he's not going to be on the New York card. He's not going to be on UFC 200, but he will be on one of the cards in between. And he's not
okay.
Happy.
All right. Well, the question is, one, is there any breach of contract? Because you don't still have a staff out there that you're paying, okay, with no fight to show up. And two, I realize to a large degree this was the UFC getting their power back from Conor McGregor, you know, and letting him understand that the organization, made him. He didn't make the organization. But, you know, this roller coaster ride is just as crazy as Ted Cruz announcing his VP candidate, you know what I mean, this week. Like,
yep.
It really has a shot or a chance. You know, I just think it's all entertainment. It's all smoke and mirrors, you know. So where are we? What do you expect to see?
Well, you know, I don't know why Connor did this, you know, because this was Connor really getting into a pitching contest with the UFC. He said he didn't want to do the media stuff. Dana and Lorenzo basically said, why? And he said, well, because I need to be training. I need to make sure that I'm on point for this fight. I've got all these people out from Brazil and Portugal. We're in Iceland. We're training hard. The Fajitas, and Dana said, cool. We will fly them all out with you. We will send the jet. We will pick you up. We will bring your whole team back. You guys can train here. You can have the gym privately so no one messes with you. You can do everything that you would be doing in Iceland. We just need 2 hours so you can do this media stuff. And Connor wouldn't do it and basically put him in a position where they had to pull him from the card. The only other person not to show up to a media event, Diaz. And Dana immediately pulled Nick from the card and put Connor on it. And then we got Connor GSP instead of Nick versus GSP. So, you know, the precedent was already there. Dana was very clear, and they did everything they could to work with Connor. Connor just, you know, he just didn't want to do this particular media. He didn't want to go to Vegas is really all it was. He said he'd happily go to New York and do the rest of the stuff. He just didn't want to do whatever needed to be done in Vegas.
Okay. So what are the feelings with Vegas? What hard feelings does he have in Vegas? Is he embarrassed to be back in Vegas because he lost? Or, I mean, what is it?
You know, personally, I kind of go with the embarrassment stuff. It's a tough pill to swallow. You know, he was talking about how the ground was good there, and he's buried 4 bodies in Vegas, and then he, you know, laid the egg against Diaz. And so, yeah, I absolutely think that could be what the issue is. But he really only had to be in Vegas for one day to do the media stuff. You know, I don't know why he wasn't willing to do it. And he's not answering those questions either. You know, he made a statement about how he needed to train and that kind of stuff. And that's all he's saying about it. He's not, you know, really answering the question of why he wouldn't go to Vegas.
So he's not retired either then. So all this is just a pitching contest that he lost.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And now the UFC is also punishing him by not putting him on the 205 card in New York. Connor really wanted that card. Obviously, New York has a heavy Irish population, and they're huge in Brooklyn. They're, you know, huge in New York City. He really wanted to be on that card as well, and he's not getting either one.
He may. Look, because money always talks. You know what I mean? And depending how the New York card goes, this may be something where they come in and blah, 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 you know. May not like you, may not like what you did, but this is about money. And it seems like when it comes to that, the UFC is always willing and able to make the decision to where the company can make money. So I believe that they believe this is what it is, but anything and everything can happen in the fight game, and we've both seen that. We've both seen this.
Now, if Frankie Edgar defeats Jose Aldo, there's no way they're not doing that unification bout in New York. I mean, Frankie's a Jersey guy. There's no way that's not happening. However, if Jose wins, this is Jose Aldo we're talking about. We might not see him fight again until December. So, you know, he might not even want to do the New York card. And if that's the case, we won't see a unification bout happen.
Yeah, it's probably true. Other news. World Series of Fighting has made some signings. Now, is that the same Sean Jordan that fought in the UFC?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it is.
So what are we looking at here with all these other organizations? You know, Bellator, it seems like they got their third win, and they're doing a lot of good things. You know, they're now international, and they plan on branching out in other places. And World Series of Fighting, I'm getting 2 stories here. You know, one, they're barely holding on, and they're not making money. But two, it seems like they're able to sign, you know, viable talent.
you know, it's very interesting, you know, what everyone's doing, because we have two leagues that are, well, we have really one direct competitor of the UFC, and then we have three leagues that are really fine with being UFC feeder leagues. And that's the World Series, that's RFA, and that's Titan. All of them have out clause for the UFC in their contract, that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it's very interesting sitting back, watching all of these promotions, you know, try and find their specific niche in the world of MMA. But Bellator is the only one that essentially has the stones to compete or attempt to compete with the UFC.
Yeah. And also Glory now. You know, Bellator kickboxing went off without a hitch, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very, very exciting. I mean, that's Scott Coker's first love, so it was just like a comfortable pair of shoes, if I can just be honest, you know, watching that. From the old Strike Force days, not the Strike Force MMA. And look, it looks like Viacom is poised to really, you know, get a look and probably take some market share in the global market.
I think we're going to see a big push from Bellator again, because with the kickboxing stuff, they are going to be, you know, a true worldwide conglomerate, throwing events all over the world instead of just, you know, Indian reservations throughout the country. They're now going to be doing events everywhere, and that's not going to do anything but help them grow. So as long as they don't, you know, screw it up, essentially, they will have an opportunity to legitimize themselves as, you know, a true MMA powerhouse.
No doubt about it. Any other news, basically, that we missed besides this?
Well,
I know it's been about a week and a half.
I think one of the big stories out that nobody is talking about, and it baffles me, is this. Ronda Rousey signed a 3-movie deal with the Lifetime Network. So in 2017, she will be writing and producing and starring in 3 movies related to the empowerment of women, all on Lifetime. Now, each one of those projects is estimated to take about 4 months. Well, 4 times 3 is 12. That's 12 months. Kind of sounds to me like we've seen very close to the last of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. You know, people are starting to transition. Fight game isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And something, you know, Leila Ali said in boxing was, she makes more money outside of boxing than she does boxing. You know? And I have the funny feeling that it may be the same thing for Ronda Rousey. She's making more money outside of fighting than she is in fighting. Plus, you know, she said something in one of her interviews that I read kind of struck me. You know, she's ready to start settling down and start to have a family. And that's a game changer. That truly is a game changer. You know?
Because you can't fight when you're trying to have kids. I mean, men can do it, but women can't. Because we don't go through the body change.
Yeah, well, you can't. You know, you definitely can't. And if that's getting ready to happen, I mean, you're right. You're just basically going to see a transition. Even female martial artists, you know, when they start expecting, they can only train for so much. And then after that, boom, they're gone. You don't see them. And then when the baby comes, you know, sometimes they have to wait till he's at least 2 or 3 years old to put him back in preschool before they, you know what I mean, or daycare before they even think about coming back and training, if they come back, you know. So,
if they come back. And so it'll be interesting to see the next couple months, because, again, she's supposed to face Miesha Tate. We'll see how all that goes. You know, if she wins that fight, that might be the end of it for her, you know, and she'll just deal with the loss of Holly Holm. You know, she might not ever get that fight back at this point. So I think Holly losing made some of Rhonda's future decisions very easy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Where else are we? Have we hit basically everything that's going into this whole MMA? Has there been any word about the UFC selling? I mean, they're really tight-lipped about it. There's been a lot of speculation out there, but I don't know.
You know, there, again, the only cards that are set is UFC 200 and then 205. And the only reason 205 is set is because it's in New York at Madison Square Garden. But if you look at the UFC's calendar, they have nothing. And that is not like the UFC. Now, do I think they're selling this year? No, but I think the reason why we don't have the calendar is because they're spending a lot more of their time focusing on the sale of the UFC. So it's going to be a process. You don't sell a billion-dollar business overnight. However, the announcement will come overnight. We'll go to bed one night thinking everything's hunky-dory, and we'll wake up the next morning, and the UFC sold under new ownership. And we'll all be like, huh, what?
Yeah, that's normally how it happens. Definitely normally how it happens. You know, and through that, you'll also have a lot of change. A lot of change. It'll suck new life. It'll bring new wind, new energy back into the sport. It definitely will, because the new owners are going to be new owners. You know, there's no guarantee that they're going to keep all their staff. You know, they're going to want to have people to come in and, you know, run the business slightly
different. Do their own things.
Yep. Slightly different.
Put their stamp on it.
So it's definitely going to be something to watch. We'll see. What else? What else out there? Is there really anything else out there, or is that just basically the bulk of what's been happening in the last 2 weeks since we're on air?
That's the bulk of the news world. I mean, obviously, Titan has their event tomorrow night. It's going to be a good one. Check it out on Fight Pass. Bilal Muhammad versus Steve Carl is the main event. Then you have Sid Bice versus Pedro Nombre. The winner of that shot, or the winner of that fight, just might be heading to the UFC. So it's going to be a good card. Check it out. But other than that, there's, you know, it's all of the MMA news was related to what was going to happen with UFC 200. And now we know it's John Jones, Daniel Cormier.
No doubt about it. Let me ask you really quick, when it comes to UFC 200, the entire card is set down. It's firm, am I correct? With John Jones and
yes.
Daniel Cormier at the top?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good, because I saw something about that, but I just wasn't sure. And his knee got cleared
now,
on Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
DC is good to go. John's foot is fine. And again, we're talking about a fight that is still 3 months away. So they'll have, you know, another 3 weeks of healing before they truly get into doing their camp. And from what I understand, John's training right now as we speak.
Good. Good. You know. There's always, more training is always better. You know, when I competed in tournaments, I never just showed up and competed in tournaments. You know, I trained for it, put myself through a 6 to 10 week camp. For nationals, I did a 12 week camp. For world championships, I did a 10 week camp because I was coming off nationals. I only took a week break. So I was, you know, I was conditioned. I was in shape. It's always the best thing to be able to train. So,
yes.
We'll see. We'll definitely see.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Exactly right. It's a question that I had for you. Matt Mitrione, did they announce a date when he's going to fight or his opponent yet?
It's still up in the air when he's going to make his debut. I know they announced his opponent. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, but it sounds like they're going to be doing Bellator 155 would be my guess, maybe 156.
Right. Okay. Good. Good for them. Good for them. Wow, that's it. We've You basically hit every topic. Oh, yeah, that's the question I had. Excuse me, I had it written down, then I blank. Oh, GSP. Is there any word about GSP coming back, or he's still, you know, on hiatus?
It's all about finding the right money fight. Had Connor beat Nate, we'd have been seeing Connor versus GSP at UFC 200. So it's about finding the right fight. And I will say this, don't sleep on GSP being the main event for the Madison Square Garden card as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what weight did he come back to, 70 or what?
Yeah, he'd come back to, unless they do some kind of catchweight fight, depending on who the opponent is.
Right. That's good. It's definitely good. You know, sometimes you got to walk away and clear your head and refocus in order to really, first of all, enjoy what you do again, because it is a job. And secondly, everybody needs that break to decompress. Everybody needs that break to decompress. That's good. I'd be excited to see how George comes back.
And I will say this on that subject. The fact that GSP is attending events again lets you know he's got the edge.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Definitely no doubt about it. All right, fight fans, that's it. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can download the Sports Action Network radio app on the Google Play Marketplace. And the latest MMA news and information, that's The MMA Corner. You can go to TheMMACorner.com. The latest May issue of Scrap Fight Magazine should be out on digital newsstands soon at ScrapFightMagazine.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, partner, and talking MMA shop, you know.
Love it.
Knuckled up. And we'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.